Hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, 98.9 FM, 1230 AM on your radio dials, and also on bullfallsradio.com, the website for us. And you can catch the stream there. You can also catch up on past programs here of the program. Love to have you check them out, too, because sometimes you just can't listen at the time it's being done. So, to check it out that way. My name's Bob Look, sitting in for Chad, who's on vacation. Ian Welsh, who's with us per usual, doing the hard work.
Morning, Bob.
Well, I just play radio. I did so much talk radio, at the tail end of my career, but most of the time I was just spinning music, country music radio. That was my lifeblood from the start of my career right up into the early 2000s. And we always had to operate our own boards, that kind of stuff. And even I graduated into started doing talk radio. I did talk radio down in Madison for a while.
Okay.
And again, Civic Media has a affiliate out there, and they're headquartered out of Madison too. But I worked for WIBA AM out there, and it was a full service talk station. This is like years 2002, 2003, something like that. I was doing out down there, and even back then in Madison, and you're doing talk radio, they didn't have a producer like what you're doing in. So
no, it's just a one man band.
Well, little old me, I'm out there doing all the stuff, and I would have a meteorologist. It was would report someone to doing local news. Also some local sports, but it was just me doing the board and doing the show. Now, not that I'm complaining, folks, but it's a heck of a lot easier when you can sit down and just talk and get focused on the issue rather than thinking of, oh gosh, I got to hit this. I got to get out of here because we got a commercial coming up. Play a commercial. And then they says, well, you should take calls on your program.
Oh, jeez.
And I says, yeah, I don't mind taking calls, but it's kind of hard for me to take calls because I don't have the opportunity to call or answer off air and to kind of set things up, because we'll be in the middle of an issue. All of a sudden, the phone's just ringing, and I'm just calling it live on the air. You don't know who's on the other end.
Exactly.
And there were some interesting moments occurred. And in fact, one of the funniest old radio stories, just bear with me here. I'm going to share an old radio story. Ian kind of gets a kick out of it. Back in the old days.
I like stories like this.
When we were working Milwaukee radio, and every radio station in Milwaukee was doing cash giveaways. Everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Big time, $1,000 Thursdays and all that kind of stuff.
Actually, sounds like a pretty good deal.
Yeah. And so we had this one station in Milwaukee that I was working for. I won't say which one. But it was a $1,000 prize giveaway, and he's 10th caller at whatever phone number was is going to win $1,000 from blankety blank station. Well, our general manager thought it'd be really cool to take not just the winning call, the number 10, but answer caller 7, 8, 9.
Oh no!
On the you can see where this is going to go. All right,
I can picture it now. Yes,
and so general manager says that at our meeting, and I raise my hand. And I go, I really wouldn't do that if I were you. I mean, number 10, people are going to be just happy and really, but when you miss $1,000.
You're going to make people feel bad.
And what's the normal response of a person when something doesn't go their way?
They usually get, frustrated.
Frustrated.
And usually it's live on the air, and you set them up. You build up the suspense that they might have won, and then you tell them, You just missed it by
Radio station's call letters. You're caller number 7. And all of a sudden, what's the first words out of their mouth?
What's it?
Words the FCC frowns upon.
Let's just say it's very colorful language.
And again, they didn't have us, you know, record these while a song was playing. We were doing these live on the air.
Yeah.
So when I tell you folks, you know, that we have a phone line here that you can give us a call if you want to participate in the show, 715-382-9297. Again, but that's what Ian's job is. He answers the phone first. Yes. And finds out what we'll talk about, your name, and then we continue on with it. If you text something to us at that same number, you know, he looks it over. It could be saying, you know, something, or maybe have a question. But if it's somebody just basically saying words that should not be on the citizens' airwaves, I will censor myself.
I'm not going to say those words on the air.
Correct. We won't.
There's a decent sentence in that a mishmash of language, I will try to pick it out piece by piece.
Correct. Yeah, but we don't want to. But we do welcome your phone calls, and you know. But I get so many memories of situations where, you know, take a caller. You're line one. Hi, and the just go off on what have you. And I've worked at places that had tape delay. So you hit the old button and it would never make it to the air, which was nice to have. But that's why we trust open dialogue. And again, we're not trying to, you know, create people to do things like that. But but it happens. It happens.
It does.
It does happen. I don't know. Maybe I should quit. Coming up, though, in the next half hour, 9:30, we're going to be chatting with a gentleman that I know a lot of you folks who've ever been to Camp Randall Stadium in Madison for Badger football games, or at the Kohl Center for Badger men's basketball. This gentleman has been there doing the public address announcing for quite some time, longer than I've been around there. You know, I've got my 27th season coming up for men's hockey this fall. Nice. And he's been there long before I've been there. And he's a heck of a great guy. And you're going to like hearing from him. Mike Mankey is his name. And he's not a radio type person or that. Hmm. He works in advertising and that part of the business, or not just broadcast business, but for marketing, advertising or promotion for businesses and things. Okay. So, but we'll be chatting with him and talking about what it's like to be doing those games. What are some of the crazy things the student section seems to like to do? And trust me, there's plenty of opportunities for stories to come out of there. No doubt about it.
Indeed.
I was looking at some, you know, when we were talking with Nancy last half hour, talking about taxes and paying into government and getting needed help. Last night I saw a statistic, and I didn't write it down, but basically the gist of it was that the state of Wisconsin right now, as of this day, has a legitimate reported tornado sightings of like 36 of them for the start of this year. Last year, for the whole year, they had 24.
Jeez.
Now let's think about this now. Already, I don't think I have the numbers exactly right, but it was like 30 something to 20 something, but 36 so far in 2024.
Oh my gosh!
Well, all of last year was only about 26. We haven't even hit into the month of July and August. We had a confirmed twister in this state in February. That was unheard of.
I mean, that's unbelievable, but it did happen.
That
just the weather just keeps getting more extreme every year. It's just
a couple of years ago, we had a storm that really scared the heck out of me. It was like an early evening where it was still sunlight, you know, but there was, the clouds were so dense, and so it was like you're looking at midnight down my street. And this was when the sun should be shining and we should be, you know, and the amount of lightning, and oh gosh, they had reports of funnel clouds, and so I was like keeping an eye on the sky. And in fact, I took some video of it, and I was narrating it, you know, just, you know, you could hear the tornado sirens playing, you know, in the background, and I just taking a picture, and it was like so scary looking. It was almost like from another planet, like a science fiction type of a layout. And I made this comment, and I know a couple of my friends just looked at me and says, "Did you really mean this?" And I says, "I sure did." I says, when I was younger, and I love lightning and, you know, storms and that, because it was exciting. But what I was looking at, when I was getting a good eyeful of what that storm looked like that was in our area, it wasn't easy to see. It was scary, downright scary. And I says, I haven't seen stuff like that early in my life. And, you know, you talk about global warming and things of that nature.
It is a real people.
I gotta go with that, because my eyes don't lie to me.
Yeah.
And
we've had the proof over the last few years that the weather has been getting
more severe.
Drastic.
Yeah, well, anyway, we'll have another little segment here coming up. In fact, in a little bit, we're going to talk a little touch of sports on what's happening coming up as we continue with the Chad Holmes Show right here in Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Falls Radio, WXCO. Just touch a little bit on sports and what's happening in the sports world. Well, the Brewers have a game this afternoon, wrapping up their three-game series with the Texas Rangers. And Brewers again win last evening. And they also have a brand new pitcher, veteran Dallas Keuchel. Ooh, last pitch for the Seattle Mariners in the Major Leagues. He was down in AAA, kind of working on his game, and the Brewers didn't trade anything for him. They just for cash considerations, they just bought him from the Seattle Mariners. Now, Dallas Keuchel is a veteran. He's also a former Cy Young Award winner. So he's had some great success, but he's also had some failure. But he's been performing pretty well in AAA. And again, the Brewers,
that's good,
are in need of some starting pitching help. And he got into town yesterday. He'll be suited up today, but he won't be pitching. But there's a good chance that he'll be possibly pitching on Friday night in the opening game of the Big Packer. I got so many teams in my head. The Brewers and Cubs coming up this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So Dallas Keuchel, new Brewer. That's another, you know, person to kind of get used to. With Hobie Milner starting yesterday, the game at pitcher, that is 13, count them, 13 different pitchers who have started a game for the Brewers. Huh. And we're not even out of the month of June yet. So that's
13 would be a lucky number for the Brewers.
Well, it may be a lucky number, but it's something that teams don't really look forward to. You kind of like to have a rotation that's kind of set a bit, yeah, that you can expect to be there every fifth day. So I'm sure there's going to be some more moving and shaking there as far as the Brewers go. Mm-hmm. And speaking of moving and shaking for the Brewers, the gentleman who handles the public address announcing for the Milwaukee Brewers will be with us on tomorrow's show at 9:30. Mark Edwards is his name. And we had a brief chance to talk on the phone, and he's a funny guy. I liked chatting with him, and he's been around the Milwaukee radio wars for a while, and it was kind of funny when we were going. Mark Richards is his name, and we were talking about how, you know, what stations he's worked for, and I said, oh yeah, I worked for them too. You know, and then I told him about me doing some work for the Brewers back in the mid '80s, and he's like, really? My gosh, you know. So he's a good guy, and you're going to enjoy him tomorrow, and you're really going to enjoy the gentleman we're going to be talking to in a little bit from the University of Wisconsin. The one thing that I'm sure that we're going to discuss a little bit about is how the University of Wisconsin in Madison, how they treat the people who, you know, work for them in these kind of special deals. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why I've going to be 27 years coming in this fall while I'm still there. And there's a reason why he's been there for a lot longer time. And it's nothing to do with cold hard cash or money. A lot of it has to do with how they treat us as far as, you know, employees. And they respect us for that. And I've pointed out that back, you know, when I lost my wife back in 2017, we had a memorial service. And being at the memorial service, you know, my mind is just foggy, just trying to remain focused on, you know, trying to be, you know, strong in that situation. But here was this big bouquet of red and white roses that were, and they had so many floral deals that people had sent. But I saw that one, just this huge one. And I walked over and I looked at the card from the University of Wisconsin Athletic Department. Our deepest sympathies, Barry Alvarez. And he was the athletic director at that time. And again, I keep saying this. I'm just a public address announcer for the men's hockey team. I'm nothing important. But when you get treated that way, you appreciate that. Isn't that very much so? Isn't it? You know, that's why.
That's amazing.
That's why I try in all my past history working, you know, in this business, which is a kind of a tough business, the radio business, one is very competitive. And True. There's a lot of, you know, a competition between other stations and radio personnel against other, you know, trying to outdo the other ones.
Yeah.
And
I can see that.
And yes, it is competitive, but I always wanted to be respectful and appreciative of the people I work with, whether they be like a producer, like in your part, or a part-time announcer, somebody who just came in once in a while. Even to the point of, you know, the people who were hired to, like, clean the offices.
Oh, yeah.
And I would, you know, love to strike up conversations with them and, you know, just to cheer them up, because you're cleaning up other people's mess. And nothing...
That's one of my other part-time jobs. I work as a janitor or a custodian at my Hawoko church.
Yeah.
So I clean up other people's messes. But I'm okay with that because... You know, even though it's dirty, I mean, somebody has to do it.
Somebody's got to do it.
My first job, I worked at a grocery store, and one of the nightly duties I had there when I first started working out was doing all the cleaning before they locked up the store, and that includes cleaning the bathrooms.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I've had a lot of stories, and I've seen a lot of things that I can't unsee. But it's good, honest work, but
correct.
It's just,
well, one of my
ways you appreciate the people who actually do the job, because that it takes a lot of guts.
Someone's got to do it, and you got to appreciate their efforts, and also, you know, a good smile and say, "How you doing today?" You know, and you know,
it really does make a difference, even though you might not realize
it. Like one of my first jobs out of high school, I was working for a company called Barricade Flasher, which was a company that provided street pylons and stuff like that to close. You know. And so I'm running across the freeway system in Milwaukee, going from one side to the other with flashing lights and and dodging, you know, rush hour traffic to, you know, close down lanes and stuff. That was a fun job.
Oh boy.
And I'm sure that there's plenty of people who were, you know, driving by, you know, honking horns because we're closing a lane that they maybe needed. Don't blame the street worker. We're just doing what we're told.
Yeah, it's right there. Construction people. I mean, don't blame the construction people because they're doing their job.
Yeah.
They're trying to make the road a better place. Hey, it's just, you have a little more consideration for the people who do all the dirty jobs that we don't want to do.
Respect. It's still the most important word in our language. Respect others.
It always will be.
We'll be back with Mike Mankey from the University of Wisconsin coming up next on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. This is Bob Look. We're in for the vacationing Chad Holmes, and he'll be back come Monday. But we're glad that you're tuned in here on this Wednesday morning. And like I said, here in the 9:30 segment, I wanted to do something kind of a theme for my stay here for the week. And I was thinking to myself, how about this? You know, you hear their voice, but who are these people? And I just started thinking about, why don't I check in with some of those folks that handle those jobs of a public address announcer at some of the big buildings, big arenas and that throughout the state of Wisconsin. And so I says, I can't forget my buddy Mike Mankey from the University of Wisconsin football and basketball, of course, from Camp Randall Stadium for football and from the basketball, men's basketball at the Kohl Center. And we say a hearty good morning to Mr. Mankey. Hey, good morning, Mike.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. Glad you're taking some time. I mean, you're still working for a living. So, I mean, hopefully I'm not getting you in trouble with the boss, okay?
No. I'm a co-owner of the company, so I'm part boss, part employee. So no problem. No, I'm at home for a little bit here, working away, and then I'll head into our office this afternoon. But gorgeous day down here in the Madison area.
Yes, it is nice to finally get this rain to stop. Hey, you know, you've been around the University of Wisconsin sports for how long now?
I did my first event for women's basketball in February of '92. So 32 plus years. Has the time flown?
Yeah, man. And you started doing women's basketball, and then the next thing you know, you just kind of graduated on up to the higher visibility type events, huh?
Yeah, it was. And even getting the gig to do women's basketball was out of left field. Back then they had a little bit of a revolving door with the announcers. They had radio guys, DJs, much like, you know, I mean, you're a radio guy, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
They move around a lot. They go from market to market. And so hence the revolving door. But a friend of mine was pinch hitting for the guy who had been doing it for a number of years. And my buddy could not do it anymore that season. This was late in the 92 season. It was early February. And he said, hey, how would you like to step in and do this gig? He and I had been in an improv comedy group in Madison called Comedy Sports for some time. Hmm. So we performed not only on stage, but I also did announcing, sort of like a Don Pardo style announcer.
Right.
So we knew I had some chops to do announcing. And I said, look, John, I've never done public address announcing ever for any sport at any level. And you're asking me to step into a college team. And he said, no problem. They'll show you what to do. Just show up on time and you'll have a great time. So I did show up on time, did have a great time. After the game, they said, hey, how would you like to finish the season? There was like maybe four games left in the season. And I did that. And then they said, hey, how would you like to do volleyball? And I said, sure. had never announced a volleyball game in my life. As a matter of fact, I had never seen a volleyball game in my life. When I was a student at the UW, I had season tickets for hockey and football and basketball, but volleyball not. So I started volleyball in 92 as well, and did that for about five seasons, I think, and up until when Bonnie took over, Bonnie Olson.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're looking to get a hold of her and have her on Friday.
Oh, she'll be great. Bonnie is one of the more positive, effervescent people I know. She'll have a lot of fun on your show.
So
I did women's basketball to start, and then that transcended to volleyball. And a little bit later, I started doing hockey, and you obviously know hockey. I did that for four or five seasons, and then pinch hit a little bit after that, but. For all intents and purposes, my last hockey, UW men's hockey, was they had something called the College Hockey Showcase, and back in '98 was my last time doing hockey. But it was fun working out at the Coliseum, and then they made the transfer to Kohl Center.
Yeah,
and then just to fill in the rest of the blanks, Jack Rain, the legendary Badger PA announcer who pretty much did everything back then, passed away in. December of 94, and he had been the only one who had done football for like 15 years, men's basketball. I know he did some hockey as well.
Oh, sure. I remember his voice. I used to go to a lot of games in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, let me tell you what. Had it not been for Jack Rain and me actually paying attention to what Jack Rain was doing, I would have been totally lost.
Mm-hmm.
They had very little recordings of how Jack managed himself during a basketball or football game. So I took over basketball in early the season of 94, and then they asked me if I would do football and, like I said, some hockey as well. So at one point in time, for a number of years, I was doing five Badger sports, women's basketball, volleyball, men's hockey. Well, there was no women's hockey, so hockey,
right?
Men's basketball, and football. And I could have gotten a cot down on campus. But I still had my regular job and a growing family and everything. So it was kind of a wild time, and I had to step away from a few sports. So I just narrowed it down to men's basketball and football.
Well, you know, Mike Mankey, of course, from University of Wisconsin, football and basketball PA announcer, who was our guest here. You know, that's kind of like what happened in my situation. You know, getting involved with Badger hockey in the first place was basically, I moved back into the state in 98 from South Dakota. And my brother, who worked at the university, he happened to be in the brand new Kohl Center, and they had some college kids that they were auditioning for doing public address announcing. So he just gave me a call. He says, hey, you know, I happened to be over at the Kohl Center, and I live up in the Wausau area. And I go, oh, well, maybe they need somebody for hockey. So I just made a cold call. And I, you know, got the answering machine for the person there, and I just said, well, you know, if you're looking for somebody who's done hockey, I did the Milwaukee Admirals, you know, for several years, and did the Peoria Rivermen when I worked down there in 87, 88, and I used to coach hockey, so, you know, give me a call back. I'll be happy to help you guys out. And
well, that's an excellent story. I didn't realize. I mean, with me leaving hockey and right around the same time, 98,
yeah.
You didn't have very big shoes to fill. They took it from me to a genuine professional with experience. So,
well you know,
years ago was that? Yeah,
I go back to going to games at the Dane County Coliseum. Back in the 70s and 80s with my buddies in Port Washington, he had season tickets for the Saturday night, so we would go over there. So Phil Mendel, who, you know, did it for years, you know, back in the early days of Badger hockey, was the voice I heard, you know, most back then. And in fact, that first game that they did in 98, I was there, and Phil Mendel did the opening remarks, and he introduced me, as the new PA announcer, and I kind of whispered to him, well, I'm only here for one game. I'm only here just to sub, you know. They got somebody. He said, oh, I don't care. And so I did the game, no problem. And all of a sudden, Rob Melnery, who is the equipment manager, comes walking across the ice. He says, Coach Sauer wants to see you right now. And I'm going, oh, no, what did I do wrong? You know, just the way he worded it. Get into the coach's office. I stick my head in. Coach, you wanted to see me? And Coach Sauer, and I'm sure you've met him and knew him. He stands up and he goes, Bob. I've never met the guy, okay? Bob. And he shakes my hand, gives me a big hug. You're my guy.
All right.
And I went, okay. Yeah, tonight, but that's it. They got somebody set to do this. No, you're my guy. And he wouldn't take no for an answer. And I kept saying, I live 150 miles from Madison. He wouldn't hear nothing of it. And so there I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. What a great story. And hey, if you got the coach on your side, what can they say? I mean,
well, I'm not trying to win him over. That's just happened, you know?
Yeah. Very cool.
Okay. Let's behind the scenes. Now, say you're setting up for a football game. Who is assisting you and, you know, handling? Because as I describe to people, public address announcing for football is like being a play-by-play man, but after the play is over.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I don't put in quite the work that Matt LePay has to do leading up to a game,
sure,
or Mark Telcher, but the homework I do have to do is really getting with the sports information director from the other team. Mm-hmm. And I do check rosters and pronunciations leading up to like football Saturday. But as far as help goes, I do have two spotters for football. I've gone through a number of them over this will be my 30th season this year in the fall. And in all those years, I've gone through a number of guys that have helped me. But my son is one of my spotters, and he's a UW grad. And actually, when he was a little kid, he would help me at spring games. So, you know, here he was 8, 9 years old in the booth with me, having fun. So he was kind of born to be a spotter. And Dave Kanaki is one of my other spotters, too. And his dad was actually a spotter of mine for a number of years. So those two guys work side by side with me in the booth. Mm. And then there's game production and event management and the music team as well. But it's really the sports information directors that I huddle with beforehand. So I get in my seat at Camp Randall. I like to be literally in my seat 2 hours before kickoff.
Yeah.
Sometimes a little bit earlier. You never know what the traffic's going to be like. But,
sure.
It's not like I have two solid hours of work to do, but I have to meet with a handful of people, security, event management, the various sports information directors, make sure the rosters are updated. And then I have a big fat binder with announcements that are pregame, during game, and postgame. I do everything when the team is on the field. I'll put it this way. When the band is not on the field, that's when I'm announcing, but most people probably understand that there's a band announcer as well.
Correct. Yeah, it's like a separate entity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been doing the gig for 30 years as well.
Yeah, I mentioned that before about you know, having a spotter when I was talking to Bill Jarts from the Packers. You know, you had to have spotters because when you're doing this, there's all these things you're trying to get into your head, like, okay, the running back picked up 8 yards, who made the tackle, second down and two, and you know, and you need spotters sometimes because you get a pile up of players and you really can't pick out numbers quick enough and you can get that name out. So that's what those spotters are there to, you know, kind of prime you to, yeah, it was number 88 who made the play.
Yep, that's absolutely right. They feed me, especially on tackles.
Yep.
It's hard for me to tell who hit them first or who assisted on the tackle. But even pre-play, we're talking who's, you know, the wide receivers, you know, who's wide left, who's wide right, who's in the slot.
Mm-hmm.
Are there multiple tailbacks? Who are the tight ends? And all this happens within, in between plays.
Right.
And so it's like we set the play in our heads by knowing who's in the right position. So when a pass is thrown far side to a wide receiver, I already have it in my head who that wide receiver would be.
And you knew where he's lined up.
You know, the number. Right, exactly. So a lot happens pre-play. A little bit happens post-play. You know, it's whoever the running back is for the carry, whoever caught the ball. And I typically am responsible for
distance,
down the yardage, yardage to go. Yeah, typically, you know, pick up a 7 on the play, 2nd and 3 from the 17-yard line. You know, that's
and
of, something I can see for myself.
And, of course, our very, very unique student sections seem to pick up on things.
They do. I'll tell you, and I know what you're alluding to. The whole 1st and 10 Wisconsin thing started a long time ago. But I really, in our booth, we don't, for a long time, did not have a speaker. They finally got a little monitor speaker where we could hear what's happening out on the field. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't step all over the officials. But I could finally hear the crowd echoing back, you know, 1st and 10 Wisconsin. And I said, well, okay, well, let's run with this. Let's have some fun. But, yeah, that was it's great to hear how creative they can be. Usually, hopefully, they're not mocking me.
Well,
hopefully, we're having fun together.
But that's what's the cool part about it. And hockey has that one when they hit the 1 minute mark of a period, we're obligated as a PA announcer in hockey to say 1 minute remaining. And of course, the student section, thank you. so we have a little conversation going. I got to take a little commercial break here. It'll be real short. Can you hang with me one more?
Oh, you bet.
Okay. We'll be back in just a little bit here on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. I'm Bob Lux in for the vacationing Chad Holmes. Glad to have you tuned in here on this Wednesday morning, and we're talking to Mike Mankey, the University of Wisconsin men's basketball PA announcer, and also the football PA announcer at Camp Randall Stadium. Mike, I'm sure you've had some unique experiences in doing football and men's basketball. What are some of those highlights that are at the top of your mind?
Well, as far as football goes, there's, you know, it's always fun when national records are broken. So and people ask me this question, you know, what is your most special moment, in-game moment? And it's sort of like the Ice Bowl where everyone said, you know, how many people said they were at the Ice Bowl game, you know, in 67? How many people were at the Ron Dane game in 99? So that is the number one moment when Ron Dane broke the NCAA rushing record. Nothing will ever surpass that. And again, that was in 1999, his senior year against Iowa. And then 15 years later, Melvin Gordon against Nebraska and his 408 yards rushing.
Yep.
And shoot, the guy could have had 500 plus yards. They weren't even trying to tackle him, it seemed, late in the game. And what's funny is that was almost on the same date, but 15 years later. So those two records and being able to make those calls and be witness to Dane and Melvin Gordon break those records was amazing. I'll never forget those. Some of the off-field things of football were pretty cool, too. In 2014, we had Steve Stricker up by the scoreboard during halftime. Hitting three golf balls off this little platform, trying to have them land on the W in the middle of the field and
yes.
Set up a pin. And I was able to call that like a golf announcer would, you know, like Jim Nance.
Were you whispering through the whole thing?
It felt like it, yeah. It's a pretty cool moment. So, and then one other moment at Camp Randall, which is, you know, not in game, but during game, we got to welcome home an Army captain from Afghanistan, and her daughter was on the field. And you've seen some of these reveals before, but that was an early one, and that was in 2013. And being able to have her daughter out there, totally surprised that her mother was behind her, and introduce her mom home from Afghanistan was really a cool moment. So, some in-game records and some out-of-game things were very memorable, and hopefully there's more to come. For basketball, some of the obvious ones. I mean, Ben Bruss half-court shot against Michigan, legendary. Devin Harris, but because Devin Harris, after he hit the free throw, which won the Big Ten championship for us in 2003, he then grabbed my mic and jumped up on the scores table right in front of me. So I got a good view of his kneecaps as he's standing on the scores table, waving at the crowd. And last season, being able to announce my good friend, Howard Moore, when he came back to the
Colts. Oh, yeah.
My first game doing Badger basketball was in 93. Jack Rain was still alive, but he and everyone else was down in Pasadena for the Rose Bowl.
Yep.
And I was able to call two men's basketball games while they were gone and Rashard Griffith, Michael Finley, and Howard Moore were on the team. And after Howard graduated and got into coaching and was at UIC down in Chicago, we got to know each other and became friends, literally through social media. And became pretty close. And so the whole accident with Howard and his family really hit me pretty hard. And being able to call him out onto the floor to incredible the love he felt and the ovation he had from the crowd this past season, he was absolutely joyful to see that type of love pouring out on him. A moment I will never, ever forget.
I saw some videos of that, and I had a hard time keeping the tears back.
I'm telling you, there are times like that where it's hard to maintain your business-like composure sometimes. Got me all choked up.
So,
yeah. Those were the biggies for me. Closing the field house and opening up the Kohl Center was a pretty neat moment.
Yeah.
The passing of the ball from all these legends and then turning out the lights at the field house. Passing of the ball and turning on the lights at the Kohl Center in 98 just a few days later was a pretty darn cool couple of moments. So many to list, you know, but those are the ones that percolate up to the top of my mind whenever someone asks me the question, you know.
You're a part of Badger history. That's a good thing to be.
It's been a blast. like I said, it's hard to believe. I'd have to tell you this. We're kind of from the same generation, but I mean, some people say the years fly by. I don't know how the decades have flown by, but they've been good. They've been great. Man, I've seen some good football, basketball, volleyball, and hockey. And Bonnie even lets me do a couple of volleyball games every season where she has another commitment. So
yeah, she saved my tail last year. I got stuck in a traffic tie-up outside of Madison that they closed the highway down for like 3.5 hours. And I was stuck. I couldn't go anywhere. And so I, you know, contacted the university and they gave Bonnie a quick little call. And here she is, you know, she was doing the introductions of the players. And here I come running and, you know, threw on my sport coat. And after she just looked at me, she said, "Thank God you're here."
You know, it's great that we have this little PA announcer fraternity that we can back each other up when it hits the fan. No,
you got it right. Hey, Mike, I appreciate your time here. I thank you very much for participating in my little deal. So maybe our listeners get a little bit more of an understanding of who is that guy, who is that voice at Camp Randall.
Thanks for having me, Bob. I appreciate it. And have fun with the next couple of announcers that come in, and I'll be listening.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you much. There he goes. That's Mike Mankey, the University of Wisconsin football and men's basketball public address announcer. Get you a little insight of what goes on out there, you know, doing those games. And again, that point I really wanted to emphasize, mm-hmm. People think that you walk into these things with, you got a microphone in one hand and you got a copy of the roster in another hand. No. It's not that basic. Sometimes it is when you do high school games and that, but when you start doing them on a Division I college sports thing and professional, it takes a lot more work involved. And that kind of, and Mike does a heck of a job. He really does. At First and 10, Wisconsin.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
And, of course, the student section fell in love with Ron Dane because all those times he carried the ball. Hey, listen, we hope you enjoyed the program today. I want to remind you that tomorrow Pat Kreitlow is going to join us starting out at 8:06. We're going to chat with him for a little bit. And, of course, Brittany Merlot will be here for some weather information. North Star Renovation will be in for a little chat. And, of course, we'll be talking to the Milwaukee Brewers PA announcer tomorrow during the 9 o'clock hour.
Very busy show.
Have a great, great day today. We'll talk back with you tomorrow here on the Chad Holmes Show.
Happy hump day, everybody.